What's up, guys? Welcome to the American Sports Podcast. It's Sam here again with Timmy. We're going to talk some NFL and, we're going to talk some free agency stuff because it's the period just started and there have been a lot of moves recently as well as trades, and we'll throw in some draft stuff there because that's, just about a month away as well, and that's starting to heat up with pro days and everything. So why don't we actually start with the biggest trade, which was the Panthers moved up to number one with the Bears. They gave up number 9, a future first, and I believe it was 2 seconds overall, and DJ Moore to the Bears. This was, an interesting move for both sides. The Panthers gave up a lot. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think Ryan Poles, that's his name, correct? Ryan Poles, Bears GM. I think he's done a fantastic job. He's essentially taken the better players from this awful Panthers team and brought them to his squad. So you look at Donta Foreman, they get him for a $3 million deal. They bring in even P.J. Walker to be a quarterback. He's going to be there on a very lower deal. And, of course, the headliner, D.J. Moore, who's going to be instant X-factor. He's going to be the leader of that offensive output. The one thing that interested me, though, was paying both Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand that move. I would understand it if their linebackers are bad, but it doesn't make that much sense to me to tie up a total of, 92.5 or $91.5 million into two linebackers like that who are both inside linebackers. To me, that doesn't quite make the most sense. Obviously, TJ Edwards had a phenomenal year on the Super Bowl run for the Eagles, but to me, that kind of money just doesn't make sense if you're going to give it to Tremaine Edmonds.
You're right. And traditionally, teams who succeed, they don't build around that position anymore.
It's very rare. I think the last guy we'll see it be done for is probably like a Fred Warner.
Yeah.
And even then, you could argue that's not built around him.
No, it's not.
You could argue it's maybe Bobby Wagner's the last guy.
Yeah, the last real. Yeah. No, I can definitely see that. Unless, prototypical guy. Like that. Edmonds isn't great in coverage. He's a good run defender and maybe not quite a modern linebacker, too. But, when you think Bears, you think of all their amazing historical linebackers. Maybe he's trying to keep the tradition alive.
Definitely true. And I wonder how much that was influenced by ownership as well, because we know it's a very antiquated ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So under that pride that they have in that middle linebacker position, I could understand it, but...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think that's gonna work out. Although what I do support is getting Big Bobby Tundra from the rival Packers, but Robert Tonyan to come down on a 1-year deal.
Yep.
I think that's a fantastic pickup.
It is.
I think that they do have a lot of tight ends. I believe obviously you have their Cole Kmet, but if you can match that with Robert Tonyan, I think that's a fantastic offense. I think Tonyan, obviously he got injured 2021. This year was just an awful year for the Packers offense. Just not quite on cue and firing on all cylinders. But I really like this idea of two really solid tight ends, which kind of leads to the Giants as well. That massive trade for Darren Waller, and you now partner him with Daniel Bellinger, who's a solid tight end, obviously only a rookie, but has proven that he can make big plays.
Yeah, they bring back Shepard. They bring back Slayton. This Giants receiving core, group of receivers looks a lot different, which is definitely a good thing. Barkley back on the franchise tag, and Jones on a 4-year, $160 million deal. I like the Jones deal. It gives them a lot of flexibility, 2 years, and then they can get rid of him. And I like franchise tagging Barkley as well. Running backs just don't have the life in the league to ultimately give him 4 years right now. I think you tag him, maybe you tag him again next year, see what happens.
And for the people critiquing the Daniel Jones deal, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you gonna let him go in free agency and start over?
Yeah.
Who else? Is there anyone else in the system that's going to be better? Are you going to spend money on a free agent like Derek Carr?
Lamar.
It doesn't make sense to go any other direction.
Yeah.
And exactly like you said, after those 2 years, if they feel that he's not good, you can void it.
Yeah.
So it's a very well structured deal for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
The Bobby Okereke deal is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
4 years for $40 million, especially when you compare it to Tremaine Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
$10 million a year compared to Tremaine Edmonds, $18 million a year.
Yeah.
You nearly cut the deal in half, and you still get a very talented linebacker. I think it's a fantastic deal. Another deal I'll comment on is the Matt Breida deal. The 1 year, $2.3 million.
I'm going through everything.
Well, the only reason why I say it is because granted, I'm a Giants fan. I watch a lot more Giants football than other teams, but he's a really fantastic second option. I think the speed is definitely still there. He can get you quality carries, and we know that if this Giants offense is to keep leaning on Saquon Barkley, there's going to be injuries that happen. So yeah. I think being able to diverse who's in the backfield, because in Barkley's time there, the running backs behind him haven't been anything great. Having a solid running back two option behind him, is really important to the structure of this offense. So you look at it, it's like, oh, it's a $2.3 million, you know, dollar signing for a backup running back. But that's going to be really important to the team's offense, especially into the later weeks of the season. So, yeah. And a quick comment on the receiving core. I was very interested that they kept both Shep and Darius Slayton around. I didn't quite expect that. I thought one of them was going to leave.
Yeah.
Bringing back Jihad Ward again on the defense, very good locker room talent. And Paris Campbell, Jeff Smith, they're both very talented.
But that's right, Campbell,
they
too.
Didn't quite go for that headliner receiver, so I'll be interested to see what they do in the draft. And if they even do take a receiver at all, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they don't end up taking a receiver and they go a different direction.
No, I mean, they've allocated a lot to that this offseason. It feels like a lot of small guys who are speedy. And then you've got the big Waller who you know, can make some contested grabs, can get some run after catch as a tight end. So overall, good offseason for the Giants. Let's move back to the Panthers, just with what they got at the end of the deal with that number one pick and what they've done, because, you know, they've kind of started to build around whoever they are targeting with that pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got Miles Sanders, which is a nice little contract. 4 years is a while, though, for running backs, so I'd critique that. Mm-hmm. But it was a position of need, and it's not a ton per year. So Hayden Hurst was a good pickup for them as well. And so whoever, you know, gets to go there with the number one pick, they'll be able to use those weapons. I think it's C.J. Stroud. I don't know if you've done your homework on the quarterbacks for this upcoming draft, but C.J. Stroud looks like a Frank Wright guy, accurate, poised, can move in the pocket incredibly well. And, you know, people critiqued him for the Michigan games, but he showed out against Georgia. And, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily the best talent in this class, but looks like the best Reich fit, in my opinion.
I would agree. He probably has, even though it's not fantastic, the best sort of pocket presence out of any of these other guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a very strong pocket passing draft.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised if we ever see a really refined pocket passer again to be drafted up top, because you're just going to be able to use your legs.
Yeah.
The best quarterback from this draft is going to be Anthony Richardson. Especially if he goes to somewhere like Detroit. If Detroit uses one of their first round picks on him, he's going to be a fantastic asset. I could also see him being a Seahawk as well. That would be interesting, seeing how long Pete Carroll sticks around. But I think we're looking at another case of Josh Allen, where he's gonna be rough and raw at first. But if he can get refined, he's going to be MVP caliber player. I think we're looking at the next Cam Newton.
I mean, yeah, he's the most physically gifted quarterback since Cam Newton, 100%. I have him to the Colts right now. I would have him to the Panthers because I think that's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. I just don't know if Frank Reich and his system would make the most of that. Doesn't really seem like that kind of guy. I don't know if he's a fit with the Texans either, who kind of feels like they want someone to just like kind of step in behind that offensive line and produce. Mm-hmm. So I think the Colts makes a lot of sense. You step in behind Minshew. You go to a system that is Shane Steichen, who just worked with Jalen Hurts and made the most out of him. Mm-hmm. I think Richardson to the Colts makes all sense in the world, and he would be really definitely a Josh Allen type talent in that offense, I would think. And you wanted to talk about the Colts with Ebukam and them.
Yeah, well, so I think they've had one of the more interesting free agencies, right? Because you get a very solid deal for Samson Ebukam. You're looking at $9 million AAV, which is fantastic for a guy who on the Niners was a great pass rusher, just a very, very solid player who deserves that money. But at the same time, you're willing to throw 4 years and $22.5 million at a kicker? Like, there could be, you know, 8 weeks into the season, he could crap out and go Brian Anger on you.
Yeah.
It's like, because that's just the nature of being a kicker. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, and I hope they prove me wrong by saying this is, you know, highest paid kicker for a reason. But I'll be interested to see that. And the other thing I wanted to point out was Gardner Minshew, because I think here he could really get a chance to prove that he can be a starter in this league. And
yep.
I think he's everywhere. He's, I mean, obviously you look at Jacksonville. He had a great rookie year. People don't talk about it, but he had a very solid rookie year. And then with COVID, guys who got drafted ahead of him, then turning, you know, going to the Eagles and sitting behind Jalen Hurts for a year. I'd be very interested to see what they end up doing, because obviously I think he's going to be the day one starter. I don't think the rookie that they draft is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
If he's that day one starter, he could take it and run with it. I mean, we could be looking at a Geno Smith sort of scenario, right? New team, ability to prove himself. He could really show people what he's about. And I'm excited for that, because I think a lot of people really enjoy Gardner Minshew in this league. A lot of people really enjoy, because he's such a great character.
Yeah.
So I really hope he gets a chance to succeed. So that's what really interested me, and wishing him the best.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. And I do think, especially if it's Richardson, you're going to see Minshew for potentially even a full season, I think. So next, we'll move to the Bengals. Made a big splash with Orlando Brown, and also had some different controversy with Jonah Williams, mm-hmm. who doesn't look willing to move to right tackle in his trade value, although he had a bad season this past year, allowed 12 sacks. Mm-hmm. And it was overall, you know, not the guy who you want to be blindside protecting Burrow. Although Brown himself wasn't that great either. He was exposed mm-hmm. against, for the Chiefs, especially earlier in the season. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see how that works. And it's fascinating because Cincinnati has found a way to have success despite a lacking offensive line, which is a testament, obviously, to the talent of their receivers, tight ends, backs, and then, of course, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what they do in the draft. I think they're definitely going to have to be looking in that sort of tackle direction. Mm-hmm. They have a first rounder, right?
They do, 28th.
28th pick, yes. Okay, yeah. So with that 20, I'd be interested to see what they do. Maybe in some odd way, Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern falls to them. I doubt it.
No, he's too good.
I doubt that good. Paris Johnson falls to them.
Yep, I have currently DeJuan Jones from Ohio State. Yep. Big. If they had Orlando and DeJuan, that's two, 360-pound dudes or something like that on your O-line.
It's also good because they've had so much turnover on their offensive line in the past couple of seasons that it's okay for them to take a guy like DeJuan Jones and let him develop.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, their left tackle, I mean, this is going to be their third different left tackle starting in 3 years, correct? Because they signed Lyle Collins last year.
Collins is at right tackle. They've had. You're right though. They've had a lot of turnaround.
Williams has had issues for misplacing the positions. Yeah. But the amount of turnover, there's no way you can have offensive line success, because that's a unit that requires five guys working together well.
Yeah.
So I think, first of all, the coaching, the splits that Zach Taylor's implemented and their line coaches implemented has really maximize what they can get out of those linemen, and it's still not great because the talent just isn't great and they're not great offensive linemen.
Yeah.
But they have the coaching there. It's evidence of the coaching there allowing them to create schemes that yield success. Yeah. And if they get talent on the offensive line, they're going to be a very, very dangerous team.
Oh, it's 100% true.
And they're already dangerous.
Yeah, and they were dangerous. They went to the Super Bowl with Joe Burrow taking about 50 sacks that year. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I say that it's a deep tackle class. I say screw it. Get your guys right now. Get Williams and Collins out of there, because neither of them were at peak form last season. And, that's what I would do, too. They have some interesting stuff in the secondary as well, as they lost Jesse Bates and Von Bell. But that's why they have Dax Hill from Michigan who can step in. So I'd say prioritize that O-line and maybe get a tight end in the second round since they lost Hayden Hurst. But another interesting position of note for them is running back with Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
You know, his legal problems. They also let Samaje Perine go to the Broncos.
Correct.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with that position, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I guess it sort of points back to what you've always sort of said, you know, the prime or the maximum durability you can get out of a running back is so limited.
Yeah.
So it really is an opportunity for them to find a guy that they really like and bring him in.
Yeah. Do you trade up for Bijan?
Maybe. That wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, though, they're going to have to draft an offensive lineman.
That's true. I mean,
they're going to have to do it. So.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's a lot of good backs that you could probably end up getting in the second round because backs just go in the second round now. So it's hopefully true. They take a guy like that in the second round.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's an exciting draft. It is. Because it doesn't feel like there's really a one major headliner like there has been in years past. Mm-hmm. Like 2021, Trevor Lawrence, like that was his draft, his sweepstakes, you know? And it feels like, you know, every couple of years we get some of those. And, you know, even last year, like, we had some really big names. But this year, again, is really exciting because it feels like anyone can kind of go at any point.
No, that's true. And I was going to say, this has been exciting because I thought last year's draft class was, like, boring, so abysmal. Like, you just had Kenny Pickett as your best quarterback going 20 overall.
Yeah.
Trayvon Walker, who, like, really didn't... I mean, he was good in his first year for the Jaguars, but mm-hmm. not a lot of production.
You're absolutely right. They're great players. It was just boring.
It was very, very boring class. So I thought it was like the 2019 class was boring, too. I mm-hmm. thought, you know, but this one, it feels like you got some good quarterbacks, you've got good tackles, you've got good edge rushers, you've got, you know, kind of, you know, everything. All the prime positions have very good players. Cornerbacks as well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited. That's about a month away. Mm-hmm. But we'll stay on free agency a little bit. Most recently, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to the Lions. And I definitely love what they're doing over there in Detroit. They also got Cameron Sutton, another scrappy mm-hmm. defensive back. We signed Alex Anzalone, I believe, as well. That's correct.
On a good deal as well.
Yep.
I really liked the David Montgomery pickup as well.
Oh, that too, yep.
I think if you're losing Jamal Williams and you know DeAndre Swift probably won't be around for a while, Montgomery's a really solid pickup that, mm-hmm. that can be a really quality back for them.
Yeah, and he never really had a chance. I mean, the Bears have had a pretty abysmal offensive line for a couple of years, so he really has a chance now with the Lions to do some things.
Absolutely.
Yep.
It's been really quiet out of the Packers camp, and I only mention that because I am a Packers owner, one of the many. For me, I don't know. I think they're just so shell-shocked about the Aaron Rodgers situation that they've done nothing. You know,
we've talked about
Alan Lazard go. You're absolutely right. It's very dysfunctional, and I mean, you might call me crazy for this. I would not be surprised if he walks in to the Green Bay Packers training camp on day one. Because it's very possible that he just stays a Packer and plays there next year.
Yeah, at this point, he...
Because he's done that so many times. Like
he said verbally he wants to be a Jet, but, you know...
It doesn't mean anything. No, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. Really. I mean,
it's true.
I mean, you know, he can say all he wants about a darkness. He can say all he wants about a darkness retreat, but until we have a confirmed trade, his words mean nothing.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's not wrong. Imagine the outrage from New York if that happened. Mm-hmm. That would be ridiculous. But, yeah, they lose, They lose Lazard. They don't really add. They lost Tanyan as well.
Yep.
Like, they don't really add anything anywhere either. Mm-hmm. It does feel kind of weird, you know. You don't know what's going to happen there, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And if it does, I feel like you have to get rid of Rodgers. Like, you got to give this kid Love a chance.
Absolutely.
And
or send Love to the Jets.
Yeah.
Something, man. Something. You got to do something.
You got to do something.
They officially have three transactions this free agency period.
Yeah.
And one of them is re-signing Keyshawn Nixon as their return specialist.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the next team I want to talk about before we sort of maybe move our way into a little bit more draft is the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans have gone on a complete haul. And it's interesting because we know that there's, again, another coaching turnover. DeMeco Ryans is in there.
Yeah.
Fantastic coach. He's going to succeed.
Yep.
But I look at the deals like the Dalton Schultz deal, 1 year, $9 million. Mm-hmm. Solid deal. Devin Singletary, 1 year, $3.75 million. Laramie Tunsil, 3-year extension. I think that's a great deal. They bring in Denzel Perryman. They bring in Shaq Mason in a trade from the Buccaneers. Oh, yeah. They bring in Sheldon Rankins. They bring in Chase Winovich.
Jimmy Ward.
Yep. They bring in Jimmy Ward, and they bring in Robert Woods. So they're bringing in a lot of these veteran guys.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how that ends up working. It's going to be a very new-look team. Obviously, they were depleted of talent last year. I'm excited to see what they end up doing. We'll see who they end up taking. It's looking like it's going to be Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Unfortunate for my guy, General Mills. Love watching James Mills, Stanford guy. I give him credit because he sort of stepped up in 2021 and had a pretty good year for a guy that people really knew nothing about. So
yeah,
he's an all right guy. But yeah. when you get subbed in, when Kyle Allen has to be subbed in for you, your days are numbered. But I appreciate them bringing in veteran presence like Case Keenum. We know that guy. Any locker room he goes to, he's a very positive influence. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see what they end up doing, how they end up operating, because this is going to be a new-look team, an exciting football team.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they're gearing up to bring in a young quarterback with the offensive line move to get Shaq Mason. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot of investing there. They have Kenyon Green, who they just drafted, Titus Howard, who started playing right tackle and has been good, mm-hmm. and, of course, Laremy Tunsil's back for another 3 years. And
they re-signed Scott Kesenberry, their starting center from last year as well.
So. Oh, they did. I didn't know that. Yep, so they're all set along that line. I presume Young, maybe Stroud, but they're ready to bring one of those guys in and have him compete, I think, right away. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
How about any comments on your guys, the New England Patriots?
We lost McCourty. He is retiring. We get Jonathan Jones back. That was big. I like that move. He's a good quality player. So, and that was definitely a need. And I think maybe means we won't draft a cornerback anymore. Juju. The Juju for Jacoby swap is very interesting. Yep. That was some buzz because they got this identical deals. Me personally, I like it. I feel like Jacoby is, you already know what he is. Like, he's just solid. He'll catch the ball, be pretty average and, good enough to get $11 million a year. But Juju has had some good years in the past. I feel like there's more potential there. And despite his annoyingness on social media, I like it. Mike Gesicki as well. I like that.
I wanted to pick your brain about that. What do you think about that, bringing in Mike Gesicki?
I think we've got the best celebrations in the league, that's for sure. But I like it overall. 1 year, why not? I think Bill realized signing tight ends for 4 years at a time is the greatest idea. It's not the greatest idea. So he's like, yeah, Gesicki behind Hunter Henry could work. Mm-hmm. And Jonnu Smith's out of there. It just really didn't work out with him, which is a shame, but he's back with Arthur Smith. But otherwise, the Patriots, mm-hmm. Riley Reiff at right tackle is interesting. So I'm really not sure where we're going to go in the draft. I really want to see DeAndre Hopkins here, mm-hmm. though. That would be nice. That's the cherry on top.
I'm going to be excited. I really hope that James Robinson has a career renaissance.
Oh, him too, yeah.
He's a fantastic back. We saw what he could do in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. He's got a really good opportunity to come to the Patriots and really be involved in that offense and really contribute. I really hope he does succeed because that guy, undrafted, worked his butt off to get to where he is, especially in the COVID year too, where it was so hard for those undrafted guys. Really hope it works out.
Yeah. I mean, people, I feel like, are anointing Ramondre Stevenson as this, like, awesome guy, but he was, like, a fourth-round pick. He had some bad games last year, and sure, he's fine, and he'll contribute, but Bill loves using multiple running backs. So I think we'll see James Robinson on the field plenty.
Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah had Bijan Robinson going to the Patriots, too, which is kind of ridiculous. But
at what pick?
14, where we have.
I don't know. Kind of wild. I think with the increase in analytics, the days of taking running backs on high are starting to dwindle.
Belichick is not.
Yeah. There's no way. I really truly think that Saquon Barkley is going to be one of the last guys to get picked that high. I don't think there will ever see.
Yep.
I mean, because obviously Barkley is a generational talent, mm-hmm. and he's the attractive pick, but for him to go at number two, very interesting. So.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, you talked a little bit about the 2022 draft compared to this year's coming draft. So I took a look at the 2022 draft. Mm-hmm. And so if you go all the way down to pick 86 in the third round, Malik Willis by the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
He is only the third person to record passing statistics from that draft up until that point. That's how boring that draft was. You had Kenny Pickett in the first round.
Yeah.
No quarterbacks in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And you had two quarterbacks in the third round.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, to your point, it's very boring. It's a very much of a filler draft. And then compared to this year, when you add quarterbacks to a draft, it makes it so much more exciting. It makes it so much more fulfilling, and it gets people to watch. So that's really what's motivating me to watch the draft, what's making me very excited to watch the draft.
Yeah, I agree. I've been doing lots of mock drafts. Definitely check out the blog for that, americansports.blog. I'm still crafting a final one for a month away, and I've definitely got a lot of thoughts. Will Levis is an interesting one. I have him with the Raiders. We didn't talk about the Raiders, how Jimmy Garoppolo has found his home there. And Seahawks, Geno Smith there. I think either of those teams could be in the market for that last quarterback, presumably Will Levis, who goes off the board. I mean, I think neither. Jimmy definitely is not, like, the sure starter long-term. And Smith, only they really guaranteed 1 year, as opposed to, say, Daniel Jones's 2 years. Like, they really only, they can void this guy after a year. And I would not be shocked at all if either of those teams dipped into the pot there.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about maybe, so Raiders are pick 38 as well, early second round.
Yeah, like a Hendon Hooker, I could see that.
Well, do you think they could even maybe sneak up to late in the first round, maybe with a trade? Because I could totally see the Bills trading down. They're at pick 27. I could see them trading down.
Yeah.
They have a lot of talent. Yeah,
definitely. So. I could definitely see Hendon Hooker dropping to that point in the Raiders. Absolutely.
I'd be surprised if he was taken that high.
No, people have him going higher now.
But
it's kind of wild. To the 23rd, to the Vikings.
With Jeremiah. I disagree with that. What do you think?
Of course. I disagree too. But like, I'm just saying he's one of the guys circled where people are saying he's going to go a little. The experts are saying he's going to go higher than a lot of people think. He could sneak into the late first for sure. Is what I'm saying.
I have to disagree with the experts.
His tape is good.
Particularly because, what you're seeing is what you're going to get. He's 25.
He is 25.
He's not going to develop anymore.
No, yeah.
He's really, there's no more growth. There's no more, physical development, really, that's going to occur, that's going to change his game. So what you're drafting is essentially what's going to be there 5 years from now.
I mean.
So, which is something like, if you want to draft him, yeah, but is if we're viewing his ceiling, is his ceiling really that good?
I think if he didn't tear his ACL, we're talking about him as a first-round lock, to be honest. I mean, he has everything
you'd
want.
He's mobile, give you that.
Size is fair enough. Very good deep ball as well. And he showed a lot at Tennessee. And if he got to finish out that season, then I feel like we'd be talking about it differently. But no, I mean, that concern is there, but people draft 25-year-old quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett was very old.
Mm-hmm.
He snuck in at number 20.
You want something controversial?
Yeah.
Joe Milton will be way better.
Joe Milton will be
so much better.
He looked really, really good at
Joe Clemson. Milton.
I don't disagree.
Joe Milton will be a first overall pick.
That is
hot. He will be a first overall pick.
That's really hot.
I'm telling you.
What year is he?
Let me check.
That is a hot take. Wow.
He's a senior.
You think he's got over Caleb Williams? Really? Really?
Why not?
Why not?
It could get to that point.
Crazy.
I mean,
no, it couldn't, bro.
It could. I think it could.
No one's Caleb Williams.
I'm not saying that he's better. I'm saying that some team is going to look at him as their, I mean, not to offend Joe Milton, as Zach Wilson level, and trade up to a point to get him because they think he's their guy. I could totally.
Yeah, he still went under Lawrence.
I could totally see
Zach
that.
Wilson went number two, but he still went under Lawrence. So I mean, Caleb Williams is that guy.
Oh, he's Lawrence. I agree, but honestly, I wouldn't leave it out of the picture. I think there's still a chance. It's likely that it's going to be Caleb Williams.
I could see bigger first round hype for Joe Milton for sure, and that's a creative offense in Tennessee that will succeed. So they'll make him look very good. No, I do like that take.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's gonna start this year at Tennessee because he's got Nico Iamaliva to battle with at Tennessee. The 5-star, I think he's making like nearly $9 million in NIL money. Unbelievable. He's
probably young though, right?
But Joe Milton, he's got a rocket for an arm.
Joe Milton.
He can throw the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. He is fantastic. And people forgot about him because at Michigan he was doing it too. He lost the job and transferred. Hendon Hooker goes down. Joe Milton plays in the bowl game.
Yeah.
Slings the rock around. Wins then the game.
He was slinging.
Excited for him. I think he's going to be a fantastic NFL quarterback. I'm putting money on it because that's how confident I am in this guy. We could look back at this and say that this is my Mel Kiper, Jimmy Clausen equivalent. But you know what? I'm willing to die on that.
Stake your career, bro.
I really think that Joe Milton will be that successful. Yep. I'm not saying I'm going to retire like Mel Kiper, but I believe in Joe Milton.
Can't believe you said that. It's too funny. Mel Kiper sucks. He's not good.
But that's really all I have. I'm excited to see what happens because we really got a decent amount of time left and the free agency window. It's going to be really exciting. And I think Rodgers is really the biggest thing that people are paying attention to.
Jackson, too. I mean, you never know with that. I feel like he probably ends up staying a Raven, but you never know. Team could sweep in.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But that's really all I have for today. So
that's all I have, too. So thank you guys a lot for listening. Check out the blog, americansports.blog. We're doing lots of mock drafts and stuff. And hope you guys have a great day. Peace out.